You're listening to the Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast, a soft place to land when you begin to question it all. During a time of great awakenings, this show will focus on the exploration of personal truth, not dogma, nor is it a dig at religion itself. We will instead dive into the history of ancient worship and rituals of women, along with modern stories of everyday wahine who are intentionally reclaiming their mana and their magic, giving our listeners supportive tools like feminine embodiment practices, ancestral healing, holistic sexuality, which redefine our relationship with ourselves, God, and the great goddess in all her forms. On this show, we invite you to embrace your worthiness of fulfillment, ecstasy, prosperity, and peace as you untangle from your old life and learn to be intimate with the life you lead now. Welcome back to today's episode and talking about a spiritual commitment. So when I used to think about spiritual commitments, I would really come from this religious lens of there is this rule stack that I had to follow, and that meant that I was committed. Like, I would have to dress a certain way, I would take certain steps, I would stay the full 3 hours. Yes, my church was 3 hours every Sunday. I was committed to reading every day. I was committed to, you know, very set way of saying prayers. I mean, there was just this means I'm committed. To what level, that would kind of determine on, that's the baseline. And wherever I was falling short, then I would always know that I would have to go back. You know, like there was just this set way of being spiritually committed. And as I have moved away from that life, the spiritual commitment, like Marianne Williamson, is really, you know, this quote she says is, the spiritual commitment is to make every situation an object of devotional connection. And as life has shifted so tremendously, especially in the last couple of years, but especially in the last couple of months, this idea of spiritual commitment is really about what I like to call the merge. And the merge is not a new concept. In fact, it is fine. You have to abide by a certain set of rules. What organized religion taught me, and there's a beautiful part to all of this too, right? Because there is this devotion that also existed. It's like, if I, you know, stayed on this path, then these great things would happen. And that served for a little while. So this is not a bash in that direction. I'm just sharing maybe what has kept us from going within is that we were really taught to externally reach. And if I did, and so it is so interesting for me because I think that we can all look in our lives, and we don't have to look far to see how society and, you know, places like organized religion and even school has taught us to always go outside of ourselves for answer, and that the feminine was really put on the back, if not completely obliterated, to really work with our intuition, logic and intuition, finding this balance. So as we lean more into understanding how to use our intuition, it is really about bringing our logic and our intuition together, bringing the spirit realm, bringing the physical reality, and knowing that there is no separation. So it really is going in and imagining a time when there were no boundaries between these worlds, and that they were really, with every act, every moment, we can see things as sacred. This perspective isn't, you know, just an idea of the past. It isn't something that we talk about, especially as from an indigenous perspective. Oh, this is what our kupuna did. Like, no, we are the kupuna now, right? We are the living, breathing manifestations of our kupuna. And so what they did, so we do, if we consciously choose that. So with this cultural and historical perspective, across, you know, cultures throughout history, people have seamlessly integrated their spirituality into their daily routines. And whether it is like the rituals of ancient civilizations or the prayers of indigenous communities or these mindfulness practices from Eastern traditions, the notion of ceremony is in every human experience. And, you know, even down to something as, I don't know why this is coming for me, but as like much as like a shower, you know, like a baby shower or a bridal shower. We think of this as this modern get together. But if we look at the history of what this showering was, it was a ceremony to bring women together, to put their intentions and their love into welcoming this new child or into initiating the woman into this next part of her life. You know, we look at all these things that exist in modern history, and if we take them apart, we really, really start to see ceremony is in everything we do, right? And it brings us into this level of presence and love and devotion. And so I also think about this not just for life events, right? We're not just in ceremony and we're not just in this merging of spirit and physical realms in that aspect. We're also in this aspect with our work. And recently I had the pleasure of, and I'm sure I'll talk about him multiple times because this sweet kupuna from Molokai, his name is Uncle Bobby Alkane. He's a La'au Lapa'au, and he also takes care of the Kukui groves in Lanikaula on the island of Molokai. And when we had met him, in just the sweetest, effortless way that he wouldn't share this deep mana'o, we were talking about the concept of work. And he's like, well, your work is what you like work with. And I just kind of laughed to myself. I was like, yeah, he goes, because, you know, your work, like if you here and you're doing something, but your head is somewhere else and your heart is somewhere else and you're not really here, like that's not your work. Maybe that's your job, but that's not your work. So what's your work? You know, turning us back into ourselves. And I was like, yeah, where is it that I can bring all of me? And when I think about bringing all of me, it is not just myself. It is my ancestors. It is the seeds of my future lineage. I mean, this is how brilliant and yes, deep. Because again, like, fuck the surface, right? Like, we're not just one individual. We are 400,000 behind us, you know, whether that is a concept that is new to you or there's a the concept that is always with you. And so this idea is like our job, but like our work is a calling and it engages our mind, our body, our spirit. And when we align with our life's work, regardless of any external recognition or monetary gain, we enter into a state of ceremony and devotion, and we're merging again the spirituality with the physical realm. So how do we merge our spirituality with our work? I think it really begins by reframing our understanding of work itself. And again, like anything, it's the intention that we bring to the space. We could be doing seriously one of the most mundane things or one of the most simplistic things that we sometimes just overlook, and we just see as like, oh, well, I'm just taking a bath or I'm just cooking a meal. But if we bring in our full presence, right? So this practice of mindfulness, we are bringing in, well, what is this for? And who am I creating for? And how can I add more love and devotion and bring this, you know, this gift? And so when I work with women in the realms of sensuality, I often, especially for those of us who have gone through immense trauma, maybe especially in the recent times, begin with your bath. begin with bathing slowly and actually looking at your hands and watching your fingers run with that soapy water across your belly and noticing yourself, you know, bringing that, oh, this is my vessel, this is my tool, you know, bringing, not just rushing and just everything is super mundane and we're not really here, we're thinking about the things that we have to get done next and who needs us and all those kind of things, right? Bringing our full presence back in, so then we can see the deeper devotion to what we are doing. There was a story that was shared, actually a couple of shares, I don't know if it was exactly story, but just in the way that these women that I've recently met through a pa that I'm a part of, and a pa in Hawaii is basically like a group, a hui, and it's for mauliola, like for health, Hawaiian conscious health. And we were talking about the idea of kuahu, and kuahu could basically be like an altar, and it will have a specific specific meaning, it'll have a specific person well, yeah, sometimes a person that you're in devotion to. So different levels, right, of merging spirit and physical. I'm trying to bring different ideas that have been kind of popping up with this theme around merge. And it was the most beautiful shares. You know, I've danced hula my entire life, and I never learned about kuahu. I never learned about this level of devotion. And so some of the wahine shared about bringing in various kinolau or representations, physical manifestations of these different deities, this goddess, especially like we're talking about Laka, she's the goddess and the deity of hula. And I was just completely blown away, number one, by the level of devotion with these different wahine who dance hula, that sometimes they would set aside an entire week, clear out their entire fridge to hold the best of the best when it comes to plants, and that they would feed these plants, which is ultimately not only feeding the deity, but feeding their community in service to their practice, in service to what this practice does for the community that they dance with, for the uplifting and the clarity within those that who don't even probably know what they're practicing or what they're calling in or what they're invoking. And I just was, my heart was just pumping out of my chest, because as someone who loves hula, right, like we can, there's always a deeper level to go. And if we have the courage to push past what, you know, people like vilify, altars and idols and all these things that were kept from us, we are really being kept from deeper levels of knowing ourselves, knowing our level of service, knowing what it takes for this level of discipline to exist. And again, it is in all cultures, if we have the audacity, if we have the discipline, if we have the fortitude to withstand any kind of external judgments, especially in reclaiming these for ourselves. And so I asked the question about how do we bring that level of devotion into our own personal lives. And some of us may create, I love to create different altars, not just in circles, but right next to my bed, you know, right by my computer, right in my own kitchen table. There are always little things, anchor points that bring us into full presence in our work. So as a mother, bringing in flowers, which really says that I love this home, whether it is my home or I'm renting it or it's a transitional, like it brings us back into grounding. It brings us into our work. It brings us into joy and into purpose. And there are all these little things that we overlook why we do what we do. But when we understand why we do what we do, then we are merging the spirit and the physical. And so as I conclude this episode, sound like I'm giving a talk, whatever, but you know, as I've kind of wrapped this episode up, this exploration is really an invitation for you in your own life, for those of you that are listening to this, to figure out, how do I merge the spirit and the physical realm? You know, especially if you are someone who isn't like me, transitioning out of a very staunch faith, like I said, with rules and regulations, and this is the way, to then having more freedom, which can sometimes feel a little daunting, a little scary. Before we get into, here are this person's rituals, or here is this culture, this is how they did, or da 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 da, it's like, what are you drawn to naturally? Like Uncle Bobby said, like, what is your work? You know, what is your work? What do you want to work with? What are you naturally, intuitively drawn to? Because there is no right answer when it comes to devotion. It really is an opening of our hearts and our minds and our entire bodies, honestly, to what is true for us. So let's remember that every moment offers an opportunity for ceremony. You don't have to go far away to another island or another part of the world to be in ceremony. It's every action is a chance to honor the sacred within us and around us. And just as, you know, we extract the juice from the fruit, and this is me last night juicing in my kitchen, we really squeeze the juice from things, that to me, that's the essence of life. And through our daily rituals and our practices, infusing each moment with intention and gratitude and reverence. So I hope that we can embrace the juiciness of our existence and squeeze out this sweetness and this joy, that even in the most, you know, painful of times, that we find this elixir, because that's what it is. I look at Kupuna and I look at those who you just are drawn to them, and they're simple and yet deep wisdom, because in their existence you find a mirror of a part of you who is like, yeah, want to live in alignment with my soul's purpose. And so thank you for joining on today's episode, and I hope that this is helpful in this journey of exploration and self-discovery. And I hope that you remember to embrace the ceremony in your everyday life and cultivate a deeper connection to your spirit and the world around you. And until next time, may we all walk in beauty and in devotion to our own ceremonies. I love you, and I'll see you on the next episode.